Thanks, Greg. That was good. I appreciated that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here together as one body in Christ. And we pray for your blessing on our hearts, that you would open our hearts to the words that you have for us here today. We love you, and we praise your name, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So when a pastor shares, it's a little different than when I share. They've been trained and they've taken classes and they've gone to seminary and they share a deep message. And we appreciate that. When I share, there's a part of what I'm sharing that's intellectual. I've studied and I've read and I come with my own little personal touch. There's a part that's not so much intellectual, but it's personal. You listen to the different pastors on the radio, or you come to church here and you hear Ted, or you hear somebody else share. You hear something very personal. You get a little insight into them as a person. And then, Lord willing, there's also a different part of the message, which is something that I don't even know how to give you, but the Holy Spirit is here and speaks to your heart. And, you know, oftentimes we think, oh my gosh, he's talking right to me. You know, how did he know that I'm going through this? So today, what I'm going to share on is basically just my meditation over the last few weeks on prayer. And I've shared this with you before, but in a former part of my life, I was a teacher, and I had to give a lot of lectures, and I would be asked to lecture on anything I wanted to in my field, and so I would always pick something I didn't know about that I wanted to learn about, or I'd pick something that I really liked that I know something about, but I want to know more. And so I chose to share on prayer today because I think, like everybody else here, I want to pray more. I want to pray better. I want to pray the way I'm supposed to pray. And so I'm just going to go over some verses that I went over because my best teacher is the Bible. And so I just try to learn how to pray. And I'll summarize it all at the end, all that we went over. But 1 Samuel 12:23 says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." So Samuel says, for him it would be a sin not to pray for God's people. So I take that to heart. It would be a sin for me not to pray for God's people. There's a word in Hebrew that we talked about before, ze'akah. And ze'akah means to cry out. And you guys might have done that before, to cry out to God. And David cries out to God in Psalm 55:1. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan noisily." And then in verse 17 he says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." If you read through this psalm, David is in anguish in his heart. And if you look at the right before the psalm, it says it's a maschil, M-A-S-C-H-I-L, and a maschil is a song of contemplation. And in verse 22, he says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." And it's a good psalm. So part of what we do when we pray is we pray morning, noon, and night. And part of what we do is we cry out. And part of what we do is we meditate. People have been meditating on the Lord for centuries, for millennia. It's nothing you know, that other people outside of Christ have a market on. We've been doing it for a long time. So in Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus teaches us, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." How much time do you guys spend praying for your enemies? We spend lots of time praying for our family and our friends and the church. Why are we supposed to pray for our enemies? Why should we do that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer first, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So there's another instruction for us on how to pray. Pray for our enemies. And if you think about it, maybe you'll have to think a little hard, but you probably have an enemy or two in your life. Maybe it was just this week or last week, but you probably have one. Matthew 6, 5 through 13 teaches us, don't be like hypocrites. Don't be sanctimonious. Don't fake holy. I'll read it to us. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Matthew 6, 5 to 13. The most beautiful sound the pastor ever hears is the turning of the pages in the Bible when he gives you a verse. But anyway. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So, when we pray, we aren't to be ostentatious. You've probably heard people pray in public, in a church, in some place where it didn't really seem like they were praying to God. It seemed like they were giving a show. We're not supposed to go for any earthly reward while we're praying. We are supposed to pray alone. We are supposed to pray in secret. True character is revealed by who you are when nobody's watching. Remember, God is always watching. Remember that God answers prayer. He will reward you. Who says? It says right here, Jesus does. Brief prayers are okay. You don't need many words. We're told, don't pray like the heathen. You're not heard by God based on repetition. That's a delusion. Don't imitate people who pray incorrectly. Matthew 26, 36 through 46 is the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we read through that, we can pay attention to the progression of things. So Matthew 26. Verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." So first, the 11, there's only 11 at this point, right? Judas is gone. He says, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And then he takes Peter, James, and John a bit further, and he says to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." How do you respond to a good friend when they tell you, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful"? We're not told their response, but I'm sure there was one. When he said that to them and he left, we know they loved him dearly, and it's had to have a profound effect on them. They probably discussed it amongst themselves for a bit, like trying to figure out why Jesus was so sad. Let me ask you, would you have fallen asleep? Probably. We all would have. Have you ever been so tired that you couldn't keep your eyes open? I have. You can arouse yourself for a little bit, but probably not ours. We are weak, even if we are willing. Jesus says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." First he tells them, "Watch with me." Then he says, "Watch and pray." He knows who is coming, and he knows what is about to happen. And the disciples don't really understand. But Jesus prays to the Father earnestly. There's a good word for us. We should pray earnestly. "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And obviously we're supposed to pray, "Your will be done." He humbly submits to the will of the Father. He knows that the Father is in control of the situation. Do you know that the Father is in control of every situation? Nothing happens without God's awareness. He finds them asleep the third time and goes away to pray some more. Jesus asks where to go when we are sorrowful, to the Father. He teaches us to submit to the will of the Father. In Mark 6, 45 to 52, we read of Jesus walking on the water. So let's go there. Mark 6.
45 to 52. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone in the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, Be of good cheer, I do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Let's go back. What do we see? He sends the disciples away in a boat, and then departs to the mountain to pray. We're not told about the content of his prayer. We are told often that Jesus went away alone to pray. He's our example. What do we learn here? Go away alone and pray. Spend time with God. Let your mind dwell on good things. Read about God. Read His Word. Spend time speaking to Him and spend time listening to Him. We should be like His disciples in Luke 11:1. It came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. We know that if we seek, we will find, and if we ask, it'll be given, right? So ask the Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, Our Father, who art in heaven, we are to acknowledge that He is a heavenly being. We are to pray for God's kingdom. We are to look to our King and live in obedience to Him and live for the furtherance of His kingdom. We must pray for God's will, not our will. So this leaves no room for selfishness. We always want God's will, and we're more likely to live this way if we spend time in prayer contemplating what His will is. We know we will always only do the will of the Father when we are in heaven, right? When we're in heaven, we're always only going to do God's will. Why? Because we will be like Christ. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we desire to be more like Christ, to move in the right direction. It's a process. We are to ask God for our daily bread. Now God supplies all our needs. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He gives us just enough for today. He wants us to place our trust in Him and not in ourselves or in others. We are to pray for forgiveness for our sins. Like the psalmist, we must pray for God to open our eyes so that we can see our sin. We are also to pray that we will forgive and be forgiving people. Those who are the most grateful for being forgiven and for their salvation are truly humble people who are also merciful and forgiving toward others. They think positively about people and they say positive things about them. We are to pray for guidance in our lives. There is evil in the world, and whenever possible, we want to avoid it. We want to walk the other way. We want to go nowhere near it. We want to stay away from people that are known bad influences for us. We are to request divine protection. Jesus prays for us in John 17:15. He says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Jesus tells us to be persistent in our prayers. He tells the parable of the unjust judge and the widow in Luke 18. He says that we always ought to pray and not to lose heart. God will hear our prayers, and He is just to avenge His own elect. In Luke 21:36, Jesus tells us how often we should pray. Pray always. "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And then Jesus sets an example for us in John 17:9, that we should pray for our Christian family. "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." And then he encourages us further in John 17:20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." So we want to pray for the people who will believe. Well, who are they? We don't really know. But God does. And the Holy Spirit will come upon some and change their lives forever. So I guess we just have to pray for everybody around us, because they may come to know Jesus. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for or how to pray for a situation. And as usual, God has that covered for us. In Romans 8:26, we read, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." We admit that we are ignorant. We need God's help. We need our counselor. We all know how often we should pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 teaches this. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This verse is a reminder to be thankful. We all need reminders to be grateful. Have you ever been through a hard season in life? A season when you were lonely and when you thought nobody cared? Maybe you were living alone. Maybe it was cold outside and dark most of the day. Maybe you had to work long hours, or maybe you couldn't find work. These deep, dark times of life are rough on us. But there's always something to be thankful for. I can care for myself. I can stay warm. I can read my Bible. I can sing. I have food. I have family. We are more grateful for things sometimes when we have suffered a bit. When I was first married, we didn't have much food in the house. For a couple of years, we ate top ramen and vegetables from the garden. We were excited to buy a whole chicken. That would have to last three dinners for us. We were thankful for the food. And we were very thankful when our parents came down to visit and took us out for a meal. Well, now, when I say thank you for my food, I really appreciate having a meal. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:25. If you ever get paid to memorize a verse, memorize 1 Thessalonians 5:25. A good one. "Brethren, pray for us." That's it. "Brethren, pray for us." It shows humility and it shows vulnerability. It teaches us to ask others for prayer. But we don't just ask people off the street. We ask our fellow believers. First of all, we acknowledge that we need prayer. And I can assure you, I know that I need your prayers.
I also want to say that I appreciate the fact that you have prayed for us. We spend a lot of time praying for our sons and our daughters, and we pray every day for them. We pray for God to supply all their needs. We pray that they will stay near to Jesus all day, every day. We pray that they will come into a deeper understanding of God's love for them. We pray for the children they will have. Right now, I know how much my parents prayed for us. We also know how much the church prayed for us. God is so good. He gives us prayer warriors who spend time on their knees on our behalf. We all know that it's only by God's grace that we are doing so well. Our health is from God. It's a gift. It's fragile, isn't it? Our spiritual health is a gift. Our faith is a gift. Thank you, Lord. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2:8 to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands with doubt and doubting. Let me ask you, do you pray everywhere? At home? At work? In your car? At your friend's house? On a hike? You name the place. It makes sense. If you pray without ceasing, you will pray everywhere. There's an interesting comment here. I don't know if you caught it, but we are instructed to pray without wrath. Webster defines wrath as strong, vengeful anger or indignation, retributory punishment for an offense or a crime. Synonyms are fury or outrage, to be livid. It sounds like we need to calm ourselves down to pray. If we are angry, we got to just get ourselves under control before we go to God. We're also told to pray without doubt. We are assured that God hears our prayers. He cares about our issues. Remember, we are precious to Him. He answers all our prayers. Just like a loving father listens to his children, God listens to you. He hears our words, and He hears our hearts. James has much to say about prayer in chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. So let's go there. James 5, 13 to 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we are to pray for those who are suffering. Well, who are they? Well, this includes all of us at some point. We suffer physically. There's lots of sickness and surgeries going on these days, right? We suffer mentally. There's a lot of anxiety and depression going on in the lives around us. We suffer spiritually. If we live in sin and keep on sinning, then we live in anguish. We pray for all these who are suffering. We rejoice with those who are cheerful, and we celebrate the good parts of lives. We are to pray for each other's trespasses, and we will be healed.
Our verse tells us that prayer works. And we see that fervent prayer is good. And earnest prayer is good. Fervent means very hot, glowing, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling, zealous, ardent, blazing, burning, charged, emotional, fiery, flaming, hot-blooded, impassioned, intense, passionate, and vehement. Do you ever pray fervently? How about earnestly? In a serious manner, not lightly or casually, not flippantly. God loves for us to pray. So let me just read for a moment. We are to bring Him our complaint and cry out. We are to pray in the evening and the morning and at noon without ceasing, everywhere, persistently, fervently, earnestly. We are to pray for ourselves. We are to pray for others. We are to pray for believers and those who will believe. We are to pray for our enemies. We are to pray when you have sorrow and when you are cheerful. Pray for the sick. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's kingdom. Pray for our daily bread. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for guidance. Pray when you're alone. And pray when you're together. So let's pray now. Our Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for your Son Jesus. And we celebrate his birth, and we celebrate the reason for his birth, which is that we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, because we need a counselor. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that opens up you to us. And we pray, Lord, as a church, that we would grow in our walk with you. And we pray as a church that we would glorify your name now and in the days to come. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.